department our guests from the Auditor General's office. Of course, all other people who are following us, fellow South Africans, in different platforms, who take keen interest in the proceedings of this committee. As you'd be aware, we are meeting to consider a presentation from the Auditor General's office. But before I do my opening remarks, I just want us to dispense with the formalities. Ajira, if there are any apologies and Timbukosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The apologies that we have, Chairperson, are from the Minister in the Presidency and the Deputy Minister in the Presidency. They are attending the government's course, so it is Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies as well as the Deputy Minister, Chairperson. That's the support that we have. Thank you, Chair.
All right. I'm not sure if there are any apologies from honourable members who may not be here, but will be updated, I think, as we proceed.
Except for that standing apology of Mr. Matisa, we did not receive other apologies from members. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Honourable members, just to make sure that we remind ourselves of the proceedings of the meeting, so that as we proceed with the meeting, this also goes to people who are joining the meeting, whether as guests or as delegations, that we should make sure that the rules are adhered to, that your mics remain muted unless you are given an opportunity to speak. The same with regard to your video camera be off if you are not on the platform. Secondly, everybody would speak after being recognized by the chair and allowed to speak, whether it is a point of order or any matter that they would want to raise in the meeting. So this would help us a great deal in having this moderate meeting. Of course, there will be also a situation where, given the connection problems, that members or whoever is given a platform to speak, if you experience that, please indicate so that we understand why your video camera is off. Under normal circumstances, we would really want to encourage those that are speaking to switch their videos on. This is not only for those that are following the discussions from different platforms, but it also helps to know that it is the same people that we are dealing with. Of course, if there are problems, we would just know that it's you speaking. As I said, if there are connection problems. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, we would want to keep the video camera on in that room. May I also just indicate then that with regard to the apologies, I think we understand them. Because members of the executive may have been committed long before. But what is important is that this is a presentation from the Auditor General's office, and it's done for the committee, and we'll be able then to engage in that regard. Now, before I would give to the Auditor General people who are here, I think it's important as a committee, whilst it has been done a number of times also in Parliament, but as a committee, because we are meeting that office, that will also formally acknowledge and continue to pass our condolences to the family and the team in the HSA on the passing of the Auditor General, Mr. Makwetu, and that the best way to remember him will be to keep the legacy of an Auditor General's office that helps the public service to shape up, of course, in terms of ensuring that monies that are appropriated for delivery of services, that service in, there can also be accountability for the resources that get spent in delivering those services. And I think that's the best legacy we can always look back and remember the contribution that he has made. And I think from the side of Parliament, our committee being new, we had a very good session previously with the Auditor General's office. And moving from that meeting, we knew that we have a responsibility as another level of assurance in ensuring that recommendations that get put forward are implemented to help the department and the entities to be able to get better audits going forward. So I just thought before we welcome you to speak and introduce your delegation, that South Africans later on will continue to remember his life, that this committee joins all South Africans in acknowledging his work, and of course committing to remembering him by keeping the figures going. So that's, I think, important. I would then, without waste of time, just check. I'm sure you would introduce the head of delegation and would also introduce the others. But for purposes of the presentation, honorable members, I do know that we would have received a presentation by yesterday. Not all of us would have been able to get back to it a number of times as we would do when we have received it long before. But for that, we'll try and compensate by giving at least the first hour to the Auditor General's office to make the presentation and allow them to amplify the point that they want to amplify for the committee to really take note now and beyond committee. And thereafter I would then engage the presentation. So that's how we would proceed. I just check if from the side of the Auditor General, if they are ready to make the presentation.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, we are ready to present.
Okay, Ms. Ratiswari, if you can then present and introduce the delegation.
To the Honourable Chairperson, to the Honourable Members, to the leaders of the departments that are present, as well as management of the various entities that we audit, and the attendees to this session. Firstly, let me start by thanking the Honourable Chairperson for the kind words. As we continue to mourn the great leader that our former Auditor General Quinton Chris, it was truly appreciated. Thank you very much for that. My name is Jody Pillay, as the senior manager that's responsible for the audit of the Department of Communications and its various entities, as well as GPIS. Joining me and presenting together with me is my colleague, Joyce Nkonyana. She's the senior manager that is responsible for the audit of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services and its related entities. And together, between the two of us, we will be taking you through the presentation this morning. It's never nice to start the meeting with apologies, but I think it's important at this point to apologize for the slides we sent to you quite late last night. Maybe just to indicate to the committee that there were some adjustments that we needed to make to the slides. And the slides were initially prepared on the expectation that we would table to their report on Friday. But yesterday we had to just reconfirm those that had tables and essentially remove those that had not tabled by Friday. It is the policy of the office that if entities have not yet tabled their annual report, then we will not be in a position to discuss those audit reports. Maybe just to note to the committee that once those reports are tabled, we will be in a position to discuss further the audit outcomes, you know, as the committee sees fit. We also had to include further requests of the committee as well, the audit outcomes of GPIS and MDDA, who do not directly report to the Department of Communications, but as we understand, it still forms part of this vote. But as we continue through the presentation, we will then just call out to you those entities that, according to our information, had not yet tabled, and therefore not presented any information that was provided at this vote. Thank you, Chair. We start off the presentation with our reputation promise. As a Chapter 9 institution, we hold our reputation very highly. And to ensure that we remain credible in a very difficult time, our reputation promise has remained consistent over a number of years. And I'm sure the committee members have seen these slides many times before. However, we still believe that the reputation promise continues to be relevant during the year under review. The reputation promise essentially says that the Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate and as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. When I think about the legacy of our late Auditor General, and specifically his communication to us as the audit team, I will always remember that he always stressed to us that the ultimate goal of the key messages that we give to our audit report is to improve the lives of the citizens of our country. So that is the ideal goal that we as the office will continue to strive to live up to. The following slide just highlights the purpose of our meeting today and the role of the AGSA in assisting you with the work that you need to do in the next few weeks relating to the budgetary review and recommendations report. And as we go through this presentation, we hope that the information will then provide valuable insight into our audit. Then as we take you through the 2019-20 audit outcomes, I'm going to hand over to my colleague Joyce, who will then just explain to you our audit report and the key opinions, or the opinions that we will issue in respect to. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Jolene. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members,
and the various members that have joined us this morning. So I'm just going to take you through the different audits that we perform or the audits that we examine as an organization. So the first area that we look at, we examine the financial statements. And what we are looking for, we're looking for whether the financial statement has been fairly presented and are there any absence of significant misstatements in the financial statement. The second area that we examine as an organization is the reliable and credible performance information for predetermined objectives. And then the last part, we have a look at whether compliance with all laws and regulations governing the financial matters has been complied with. Okay, so the next slide, I am going to cover the different audit opinions that we express as an organization, starting with the first one, which is an unqualified audit opinion. So the unqualified audit opinion, which we normally refer to as a team audit, is something that's slightly unique for the organization. What does it mean? It basically means that the auditee has produced credible and reliable financial statements that are free of material misstatements. And they have reported in a useful and reliable manner on the performance as measured against the predetermined objectives in the annual performance plan. They have complied with key legislations in conducting their day-to-day operations to achieve their mandate. And then the second option, this is the financially unqualified opinion with findings. So what does it mean? It means that the OT has produced the financial statements without material misstatements, or if there were any material misstatements, those material misstatements were corrected. But it could also mean that even if the financial statements are free of material misstatements, there could be one or more areas that they've struggled with, such as aligning the performance report to the predetermined objectives that they've committed to in the annual performance plan. They've also maybe they could have failed to set clear performance indicators and targets to measure their performance against their predetermined objectives, or they could have reported, they failed to report reliably on whether they have achieved their performance targets. And the other area that they could have struggled with is in the legislation that they should have complied with. They didn't comply with the required policies, procedures, and the controls to ensure that compliance is met as required. The other opinion here is the qualified opinion. So basically with the qualified opinion, what does that mean? That means that there were material findings that were identified when we were doing the audit. Management could not fix those material findings. However, those material findings, when the assessment is made, they seem to be confined in one area of the financial statement. And then you have another audit opinion, which is the adverse opinion. So with the adverse opinion, similar to qualified opinion, they are material misstatements. However, the difference here is that the material misstatements affect the larger part of the financial statement, so meaning that they are not confined in one area. So the type of misstatements that we are referring to here generally would be disagreements. An example that I like to use is you have the application of a standard. The standard requires that, you know, certain information must be prepared in this manner. However, management has prepared it in a different manner. So there's disagreement between what should have been done versus what has been done. It then results in an adverse opinion. But it would be adverse if the larger part of the financial statement has been affected. So it's not confined in one area, like, you know, the qualified opinion. And then you have the last audit opinion that an OEC can get, which is the disclaimed opinion. So what we mean by the disclaimed opinion is that the OEC has failed, you know, to comply. There are quite a lot of material misstatements that have been identified during the audit of the financial statements. The types of misstatements that have been identified are limited. So basically what we are saying when we are issuing this opinion is that we are not in a position where we could say exactly what has happened because we are limited in performing our work. So we are issuing a disclaimer of opinion where we are basically saying we are not comfortable with expressing what has happened, and therefore we are not expressing an opinion. Thanks, Jeff. With the next slide, we just highlight some information that we consider to be important to note. Here we say that the information in this presentation is based on the audits that have been completed, but and also tabled, unless we have indicated otherwise. We have also included a legend with the various colors that indicate the different audit outcomes. And through the presentation, you will see various arrows when we compare outcomes between the prior year and the current year. We use the arrows then to indicate whether there's improvement, whether factors have remained unchanged, whether factors have regressed. We then move on to the accountability wheel. The concept of accountability has been adopted as a theme of our reporting for a number of years now. You might remember that over a number of years, despite our reporting, our consistent reporting on root causes and the need to improve audit outcomes, we've noted that there has been very little, if not any movement in the audit outcomes. And as a result thereof, we as an office have shifted our focus to accountability as a key root cause to drive an improvement in the audit outcome. As indicated in the slide, we eventually would like to get to the portion that is numbered 7 on the wheel, where we are able to impact on a better life for all citizens. Here to you, in the middle of the wheel is what we would like to achieve eventually, which is accountability. Through the wheel, we've tried to explain the various important aspects that are necessary to achieve accountability. Important for this is what we refer to on the wheel as plan, do, check, and act. Where we're saying that in order to ensure that there is effective accountability, our planning processes need to be strong enough to be able to define our targets and our goals appropriately. In this respect, it's important that leadership and management focus sufficient time and energy on the plans that are put into place, especially at the beginning of the year, as it relates to the financial resources that are at their disposal. This is done through the budgetary process, as well as the non-financial goals or the predetermined objectives that is set at the beginning of the year. The manner in which this is done is going to be significant to enable the entity to be able to properly account for what has happened during the year. We're also saying in point number 3 that in order to achieve the defined targets that have been set, it's important that management implements appropriate internal controls as well as supervisory controls to ensure that there is movement towards achieving the targets that have been set. An important aspect of this process as well is monitoring by all of the insurance providers. The monitoring processes should be sufficient to be able to detect whether there's any deviations from the plans that have been set. And where such deviations are identified, it's important that leadership and management determine what corrective action needs to be taken to be able to bring the performance of the entities back to still try to achieve the goals that have been set this year. Also, we then move on to the portion entitled, numbered 5, which refers to consequence management. Essentially, we're saying that once you've defined your targets, you've implemented appropriate controls, and you've done your appropriate monitoring procedures, and checking, and the results are eventually known, it's important then to reflect on those results to determine whether consequence management needs to be implemented and what the form of that will be, and then thereby ensuring that there's accountability in the entire process that is undertaken by departments and entities over the year. We believe that if you are able to achieve this, this would result in better audit results and better audit outcomes, again impacting on a better life for all. Here with the next slide, we had listed the various entities that fall under the Department of Communications and the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. We will then continue to discuss these, and between myself and my colleague will then indicate to you which of those entities will form part of the information that we will share with you today. Maybe just noting that there's an error on our side. We should have included Brand SA as part of the reporting on this communications portfolio, and that has been obviously omitted. As I indicated earlier, we are now going to take you through the audit outcomes. We will split our presentation between the Department of those entities falling under the Department of Communications and those entities falling under the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. So we start off with the Department of Communications. In this slide, we present the audit outcomes of the portfolio over a 5-year period. What is interesting to note for this portfolio is that there's pretty much been no significant movement over the entire 5 years, where consistently there have been two entities that have fallen within the category of clean audit. There have been three entities that fall in under the yellow category, which is an unqualified audit opinion with findings on either predetermined objectives and or compliance with legislation. And consistently, the SABC has been in the block, in the category that indicates either adverse disclaimer or qualification. However, there has been movement between the various levels, especially in the green and the yellow block. So just looking at the audit outcomes for the current year, 19-20, well, we noted that FPB request from the prior year clean audit outcome to an unqualified audit opinion with findings on compliance with legislation. MDDA had improved to a clean audit outcome. GCIS were able to maintain their clean audit outcomes. And DMC and ICASA had remained stagnant and been unqualified with findings. And SABC audit outcomes also remained stagnant and been qualified with findings on compliance with legislation. Having said that, it's important though to know that even though SABC is still listed as qualified with findings, there has been movement in the audit outcomes over the years. You will notice that in 2016-17, SABC received an adverse audit opinion in classified pink, the pink block. The issues there were mainly around going concern challenges that were experienced and various other matters affecting the financial sector. In 2017-18, the going concern challenges persisted, which resulted in a disclaimer of opinion with various qualification areas as well. In 2018-19, SABC was qualified, but we noted that there was a reduction in the number of qualification areas, where in the 2018-19, there were two qualification areas that remained, being PPE and property, plant and equipment, and as well as irregular expenditure. And in the 2019-20 year, SABC was able to resolve the qualification of property, plant and equipment, and they now currently have one qualification area being irregular expenditure. So so that's the one important aspect that needs to be cleared to enable them to move out of the qualified category. To the following table indicates it's our movement table, but again summarizing the information in the previous slide where we noted an improvement for MDDE from the previous unqualified finding opinion. GCIS remained unqualified with no findings. DOC and ICASA were unqualified with findings consistent with the prior year. FPB had regressed from their previous unqualified with no findings, and for the current year they had findings of compliance with legislation, and FABC remained unchanged as qualified with findings. And chair, what is not included in the slide is their brand SA, where according to our information, brand SA has not yet removed the audit report, so we do not include them in the presentation. With that, I'll hand over to Joyce.
Thank you. So I will take you through the telecom portfolio. So what you have in front of you is the view over the last 5 years. So what you notice is that Sentech has maintained this position over the last 5 years, where they have consistently obtained a clean audit opinion. DCPS that has been sitting in the unqualified with findings for the first time in the current year, they've managed to clear that area of non-compliance and they've finally moved to the clean audit opinion. And NEMISA, with the exception of 2017, they've also managed to maintain the unqualified with findings, so the sort of findings are relating to either to non-compliance and AOPO. CETA, for the first time in the current year over the last 5 years, they have moved from the unqualified findings and they have reported the qualification. And this is as a result of assets that were not appropriately accounted for as per the standard and issues of completeness of irregular expenditure. Next slide. Before I move to the next slide, you will note that I've indicated that there are two outstanding audits that are still in progress. This is USASA and the post office. And you'll also note that I've indicated that there are two audits that have not yet tabled, and this is USASA and BBI. Okay. So on the next slide, So this slide, it summarizes the movement between the previous year and the current year. What you're going to notice is the first one, we have noticed an improvement where DTPS constantly had a consequence management non-compliance that we've reported. For the first time in the current year, they were able to resolve it, and that's why it's now sitting in the first block and it's shown as improved. Sentech maintained the unqualified with no findings. That's why it's listed as unchanged. NEMISA, unqualified with findings. Also, we noted it as unchanged, nothing has changed there. We have a regression, as I've already mentioned, where CETA has obtained a qualified audit opinion. And I've also indicated that we have two audits that are still in progress. Two audits that have not tabled yet, which is USASA and BBI. And then we have the post office and USAF that are still in progress. So the audit has not been concluded yet. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you. We will now continue with some of the more detailed aspects of our reporting, and we start off on this slide with what we are referring to as credible financial reporting. So here we will refer to the key findings relating to the submission and the quality of the financial statements that have been received. Essentially, the PFMA requires that all departments are required to submit financial statements in accordance with the prescribed accounting framework. The expectation is that financial statements should contain no material errors. However, in some instances, material errors identified through the audit process can be corrected by management. In these cases, a material non-compliance is reported in the audit report. In some instances, the errors identified cannot be corrected within a reasonable time period, which then results in a qualification to the financial statement. In these instances, management are required to make corrections with the submission of the financial statements in the following year. So for the communications portfolio, we are reporting on six entities that have submitted. We report that all six entities have submitted financial statements within the legislative timeline. And congratulations then to all of those entities that submitted financial statements without errors, being Department of Communications, ICASA, GCIS, and NDEA. We noted in respect of one set of financial statements, being FPB, that there were material errors that were identified that the entity was able to correct during the audit process, and as a result, they were able to get an unqualified audit opinion. And we also note that, as previously indicated, SABC financial statements were qualified. The qualification area was an irregular expenditure, and we'll continue to talk through that as we go through some of the slides further.
Thank you, Joyce. So, credible financial reporting in the telecom portfolio. So in terms of submission of financial statement by the latest date, all four of them that I'm reporting back on have submitted in time. And then in terms of financial statements that were submitted without errors, it was only DGPS and Centec. So we have noted two, and it hasn't changed from the previous year. To the number that submitted without errors. And then the quality of financial submission after the audit, we have indicated that three, which is a regression from the previous year. So the third one is NEMISA. So NEMISA was able to correct all the material misstatements, and as a result, they were able to get an unqualified audit opinion with findings. And then from the four, CITA is the only one that's sitting with the qualification, and the areas where the qualifications has been reported is the irregular expenditure where limitations were experienced. So as a result, we could not express an opinion on whether the completeness of the irregular expenditure is correct as reflected in the financial statements. And then property, plant and equipment and intangible assets, the compliance with the required accounting standards was identified as an issue, and as a result, it resulted in the qualification area. Thank you.
We then move on to credible financial reporting. Similar to the financial statement, we also report on the quality of the submission of annual performance reports. So in terms of the communication portfolio, again, well done to all of the entities that submitted performance reports without any material errors, being ICASA, FTB, GCIS, and NDDA. And we noted for two of those entities, being DOC and SABC, corrections were made to the annual performance reports. However, after those corrections were made, did not report any material findings relating to those entities. So in the bottom section of this slide, you will see that there has been significant improvement for the portfolio as a whole, where we did not report any